Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Paul Hastings ICO's Pushing the Regulatory Frontier to MSB or Not MSB teleconference. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Tom Brown, partner in the Paul Hastings San Francisco office. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thanks all for joining us for the fourth in our series of teleconferences on token sales and ICOs. I'm Tom Brown. I co-chair the FinTech practice in San Francisco, and I'm really excited about today's discussion. I'm joined by my fellow co-chair and longtime friend, Chris Daniel from our Atlanta office, and Molly Swartz, a colleague in San Francisco. These are two people whom I enjoy working with tremendously and have worked on virtual currency and token sale issues for a number of years. And I know over the series of calls that we've had so far, we've looked at a number of different questions associated with token sales. But today we're sort of going back to where it all began and not looking at whether a token is a security or talking about the tax implications, but instead focused on the question of how money transmission laws are implicated by the creation, distribution, sale, exchange of a new virtual currency or token. And Chris, I'd like to start it with you and tee that question up for you. How are money transmission laws implicated by a new virtual currency?
Of course. And thanks for the kind introduction, Tom. Before we get started, I do want to make a plug for our next two presentations. One is on ICO case studies next Tuesday, and the other, the final presentation, will be on ICOs, our parting thoughts, and what we think is next next Thursday. So before segueing into the money transmission question, both at the federal and the state level, let's summarize quickly so everyone is on the same page moving forward. We've been discussing, of course, initial coin offerings, and an initial coin offering is a mechanism by which an entity offers app tokens or utility tokens or equity tokens or derivative tokens out to the public for sale. Our ICO team at Paul Hastings has spent a lot of time analyzing the legal issues associated with ICOs that led, of course, to this six-part teleconference series. We've spent a lot of time thinking about the analytical framework that we as lawyers ought to bring to ICOs, and I think this is a fair summary of where we are at the moment. The first question you've got to ask is, you know, is the token a security that would be subject to the jurisdiction of the SEC? Is the token a commodity or a derivative that would be subject to the jurisdiction of the CFTC? Is the token a convertible virtual currency subject to FinCEN's virtual currency guidance and ultimately to the Federal Bank Secrecy Act? And then, of course, what are the tax consequences to the entity? My last general statement will be this. I think it's going to be remarkably challenging to offer a token for sale that is not a security, a commodity slash derivative, or a convertible virtual currency. I don't know if everyone saw Chairman Clayton's statement on Monday of this week, but it's a very interesting and helpful read. And he gives a hypothetical, actually two of them, on page four, and he says the following. For example, a token that represents a participation interest in a Book of the Month club may not implicate our securities laws and may well be an efficient way for a club's operators to fund the future acquisition of books and facilitate the distribution of those books to token holders. In contrast, many token offerings appear to have gone beyond this construct and are more analogous to interests and a yet-to-be-built publishing house with the authors, books, and distribution networks all to come. It is especially troubling when the promoters of these offerings emphasize the secondary market trading potential of these tokens. Prospective purchasers are being sold on the potential for tokens to increase in value with the ability to lock in those increases by reselling the tokens on a secondary market. Now think about that for a second. I actually would agree that the Book of the Month Club token isn't a security. I suspect it's not a commodity or derivative, and it may not be a convertible virtual currency. So therefore, I think that hypothetical works just great, but the problem is nobody wants to buy it, and it isn't going to increase in value on the backside. Conversely, the second part of that hypothetical with the yet-to-be-built publishing house, that's attractive to me. I'd love to perhaps own an equity interest in that or use a convertible virtual currency that that system's going to use that's going to increase in value. But if I'm there, which of course is why we're all interested in ICOs in the first place, I think I've got the securities commodity derivative virtual currency construct to grapple with. So with that opening being said, I'm going to segue now finally to what Tom asked me, which is the money transmission statutes and how they apply to tokens. So in the United States, we regulate money transmission at both the federal level and the state level. At the federal level, we have the Federal Bank Secrecy Act, which is our nation's principal anti-money laundering, anti-terrorist financing statute. It applies to 27 different types of financial institutions. Some of those financial institutions are quite obvious, banks. Some of them are less obvious, like casinos or travel agencies. One of those 27 different types of financial institutions is what's called a money services business. And that's ultimately the question for us with tokens today. And we'll get to the virtual currency guidance from FinCEN in just a moment. But ultimately, that virtual currency guidance is meant to provide guidance to entities involved in virtual currency distribution, sales, exchanging, as to whether or not they need to be an MSB and ultimately be subject to the Bank Secrecy Act and its requirements. At the state level in the United States, we have 49 states and 5 territories that have money transmission statutes. The only state that doesn't is Montana. Money transmission statutes have as their animating policy consumer protection, and they regulate three types of money transmission activities. The sale, distribution of traveler's checks or money orders, not relevant here. The sale of open loop stored sale and distribution of open loop stored value, interesting question, but probably not relevant here. And thirdly, the what we all would think of as traditional money transmission or bill payment, the movement of money from party A to party B. With respect to token sales and whether state money transmission laws apply, which Molly will speak about in a moment, the question at an analytical level is whether the token is monetary value or monetary equivalent. And I say that because a number of state money transmission statutes define money as fiat or monetary value or monetary equivalent. To transition, I'm going to speak just a moment about FinCEN's virtual currency guidance, which they issued on March 18th, 2013. The virtual currency guidance from FinCEN, again, is meant to provide guidance on whether an entity engaged in the distribution of quote-unquote convertible virtual currencies must register as an MSB and be subject to the Federal Bank Secrecy Act. In making that decision, there are a few helpful quotes from the virtual currency guidance that I think will help you as you put some sort of framework around this analysis. The first is the definition of convertible virtual currency. What FinCEN said is, in contrast to real currency, virtual currency is a medium of exchange that operates like a currency in some environments, but does not have all the attributes of real currency. In particular, virtual currency does not have legal tender status in any jurisdiction. This guidance addresses convertible virtual currency. Convertible virtual currency either has an equivalent value in real currency or acts as a substitute for real currency. So the first question on the virtual currency guidance is, am I dealing with convertible virtual currency? The second question becomes one of your role. And the virtual currency guidance goes on to define three types of roles. One is a user, another is an administrator, and the third is exchanger. They go on to define those rather simply. A user is a person that obtains virtual currency to purchase goods or services. An exchanger is a person engaged as a business in the exchange of virtual currency for real currency, funds, or other virtual currency. An administrator is a person engaged as a business in issuing, parens, putting into circulation, a virtual currency, and who has the authority to redeem, parens, to withdraw from circulation, such virtual currency. To summarize quickly on user, administrator, and exchanger before I finish this, my answer to this one question, users are not subject to the Federal Bank Secrecy Act and therefore do not have to register with FinCEN as an MSB. Conversely, exchangers and administrators do. So FinCEN goes on to define an administrator or as exchanger or their activities as follows. An administrator or exchanger that, one, accepts and transmits a convertible virtual currency, or two, buys or sells convertible virtual currency for any reason, is a money transmitter under FinCEN's regulations, absent and an exemption. So to summarize what has turned out to be a rather long answer to Tom's question, under the federal virtual currency guidance, you've got users, administrators, and exchangers. I think it's really difficult to have an initial coin offering where the coin is deemed not to be a security, not to be a commodity or derivative, and otherwise not be deemed to be a convertible virtual currency. In other words, I think you really end up having to choose between three different regulatory constructs. It's going to be very hard to avoid all three. So with that, Tom, I'm going to turn it back over to you and to Molly.
Thanks, Chris. Covered a lot of ground there. But I think the conclusion is an important one and worth repeating and calling out. I think our collective view is that it's difficult to see how with the introduction of a new token you avoid the three regulatory regimes that you just sketched out. So you can plant a flag on the security side, you can choose to be a derivative, subject yourself to the regulation under the CFTC, or you need to grapple with your status under the Bank Secrecy Act as a money service business. But we know, and Molly, this is a question for you, that there are folks who are receiving advice that says that notwithstanding the analysis that Chris just sketched out, that MSB registration in connection with a token sale of a convertible virtual currency is not necessary. And I would love to get you to walk through what the arguments in favor of that position are.
Yeah. So as Tom, as you just mentioned, we've been hearing a lot of arguments as to why a token seller should not be considered a money transmitter and thus subject to FinCEN registration. Obviously, lawyers are trained to make arguments and to parse text, and there are text-based arguments as to why token sellers should not be subject to the Bank Secrecy Act, but I think overall we don't really find these arguments to be credible. So as Chris just defined administrator under FinCEN's virtual currency guidance, and some people parse the definition of administrator to argue that a token seller should not be considered an administrator. So specifically, some folks have focused on the second portion of FinCEN's definition of administrator. And apologies, this gets pretty technical. But they would argue, so in the definition of administrator, as Chris just noted, an administrator must have the authority to redeem, to withdraw from circulation, virtual currency that it has issued. And so folks arguing that a token seller should not be considered an administrator would say that where the entity creating the token has no special authority to remove the token from circulation, the token seller should not be considered an administrator. However, that same guidance also states that a person that creates units of virtual currency and sells those units to another person is engaged in money transmission. So the guidance doesn't explicitly state that the person creating units of virtual currency may be considered an administrator, but it does suggest that a token seller, someone creating virtual currency and selling those units of virtual currency to another, is engaged in money transmission. So that's one argument that we've heard quite frequently. Another one is that a token seller is actually just a user, that the act of creating tokens is no different than mining tokens. And just as a user can sell its mined tokens, a token seller can sell its created tokens. So this argument generally stems from a couple of 2014 FinCEN rulings. In one of them, FinCEN determined that a Bitcoin miner was not an MSB because the miner only mined Bitcoin for its own purposes and not for the benefit of another. From time to time, the miner sold the Bitcoin for virtual currency or real currency for its own purposes. And FinCEN determined that because the miner was undertaking sales for its own purposes and not as a business service performed for the benefit of another, this miner was not an exchanger. In another 2014 ruling, FinCEN found that a company that had developed proprietary software to enable it to periodically invest in virtual currency for its own account was a user. So with those rulings in mind, some have suggested that a token seller is effectively mining tokens and selling them for its own purposes. And thus, the token seller should be thought of as a user, not an exchanger or an administrator. But token sales have a commercial nature. The seller's not simply exchanging its own funds with one buyer. The seller is selling tokens to many buyers during a one-time generation event, usually supported by a white paper, cryptographic protocols, promoters, et cetera. It's hard not to see this type of event as commercial business activity. And as such, these token sales are pretty far removed from the types of occasional personal sales that FinCEN seemed to contemplate in those 2014 rulings. So that's another argument we've been hearing. Another more unusual argument that we've heard is around the authority of FinCEN's virtual currency guidance. So because the guidance was not promulgated through a formal rulemaking, technically the guidance may not be entitled to Chevron deference under the Administrative Procedure Act. And thus, a court may be more likely to strike it down. While it's true that this is an argument that one might be able to make in court, no token seller should want to be in the position to have to argue this, obviously. And it's certainly not a strong enough argument upon which to premise your entire token sale. In addition, beyond sort of the more legal arguments as to why token sale activity is likely to constitute money transmission, policy arguments also suggest that that's the case. So as Chris mentioned, the Bank Secrecy Act is designed to prevent money laundering and terrorist financing. And token sales are pretty ripe for money laundering. They obviously provide a potential outlet for criminals to process ill-gotten gains or to try to make dirty money clean. And so that's exactly the type of activity that the Bank Secrecy Act is designed to prevent and exactly the type of activity that FinCEN would likely want to oversee. So it's certainly true that FinCEN's guidance and rulings so far leave some things to be desired in terms of clarity, and there are inconsistencies. But I think that if you're serious about creating a token-based ecosystem and you want it to be successful, it probably doesn't make sense to rely on these textual inconsistencies in FinCEN's guidance and rulings. It's also worth just mentioning here that the penalties associated with unlicensed money transmission at the federal level can be relatively severe. So violations of the BSA are subject to civil and criminal fines. And you could also be subject to a criminal action to the extent that you are facilitating money laundering or terrorist financing, and penalties associated with that kind of activity include forfeiture actions and even imprisonment. So in sum, there are a lot of arguments that a token seller might not be considered a money transmitter under the BSA and FinCEN's guidance, but generally we don't think that these arguments are credible.
Thanks, so, Molly.
Hey, Tom, let me finish up with a couple of thoughts, and maybe we skip the next section and go to the states, given our time constraints. But I would only add two other thoughts here for Molly's comments. One is that Jennifer Shastri was the director of FinCEN at the time the virtual currency guidance came out, and she gave a speech followed shortly by one of her subordinates giving a speech on the virtual currency guidance, and they very much focused on this statement that what FinCEN wanted to regulate for virtual currencies was the on-ramp and the off-ramp to the virtual currency world. So if you think about that in terms of the initial coin offerings, it's the on-ramp. And I think Molly said it very well a moment ago when she said ICOs are, or tokens are, attractive for money laundering. And so, again, there are textual arguments to make. I think, you know, you could certainly define your way out of convertible virtual currency, but if you're a convertible virtual currency, I think you really have to worry about the virtual currency guidance and heed its admonitions. And I forgot my second point, so let's go on, Tom. Do you want to talk about the requirements under the Federal Bank Secrecy Act, or given time, do we want to segue to the states? All right, so Tom, I may have lost you. So Molly, given that we have 7 minutes left, let's focus on the states. And the question is, you know, whether there are state law obligations as well with respect to tokens.
Yeah, so as you mentioned earlier, state laws, states also regulate money transmission, and there is some question as to whether virtual currency activity will be covered by those state money transmission laws. Perhaps not surprisingly, states are all over the board when it comes to regulating virtual currency under their existing money transmission statutes. So New York, for example, requires a specific licensure process for any company engaged in virtual currency business activity involving New York or New York residents. This is the BIT license. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Other states have also indicated, either through statute, regulation, or guidance, that they will regulate virtual currency sales under their statute. In contrast, some states have explicitly stated that they will not regulate virtual currency sales or even virtual currency under their statutes, including California. But most states have not weighed in on the issue at all. So in these states that haven't provided any indication as to where they stand, a token seller would at least have a reasonable argument that the relevant money transmission statute does not cover token sales, but obviously there is some risk associated with that approach,